The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, and especially these words. And a leper came to him, imploring and kneeling, said to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we just read, the leper comes to Jesus and he says this, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, if we read the rest of the text, we get a sense that Jesus wasn't altogether excited about how the leper had asked. After all, immediately after healing the leper, Jesus, we are told, spoke sternly to him, and then he cast him out of his presence immediately, and he told him not to become a spokesman on his behalf. Now, why would Jesus respond in such a way to the leper? Why speak harshly to him? Why cast him out so quickly? Why tell him to be silent? After all, didn't this leper pray almost the perfect prayer? Wasn't it Jesus himself who taught us to pray, "Thy will be done"? Wasn't it proper for the leper to begin his prayer with the phrase, "If you are willing"? Well, today we seek to find the answer to this question by examining our own prayer life and finding out, perhaps, that our prayers are often much like the leper's prayers. We tend, as God's people, especially if we're praying aloud, to say things like, "If it be your will, God, do this or do that." And when we pray this way, once again, it seems like all we are doing is praying the way that Jesus taught us to pray. We are praying, in essence, "Thy will be done." After all, we don't want to sound like we are bossing God around and telling him what to do. But here's the question about our prayers, and the question about the leper's prayer as well. Are our words mentioning God's will truly just a sign of our submission to God and our humility before him? Or are they simply words that mask doubt and unbelief? Are they truly a way of saying that we will submit to whatever God wants? Or are they words that we speak because we really don't believe God will give us the answer we want anyway? Do we sometimes pray that God would heal, but secretly in our hearts think that it's only up to the medicine and the doctors? Do we pray that he will provide, but secretly only trust our jobs and our paychecks? Do we pray that he would heal our broken relationships, but truly trust only time and counselors to solve those problems in our lives? Oh, we are no doubt to put our wants and our desires in submission to God's will and his ways. But I would suggest more often than not, when we in our prayer say something about God willing it, that's not what we're truly being about. We're not truly just subjecting ourselves to his will. Rather, I would suggest that many times those words reveal doubt in our hearts. They reveal that we think the things we are praying for are too big for God to give to us. They're too big for us to legitimately expect to receive from him. It's as if we're giving God an excuse not to act before we even give him a chance to act. And James assures us in his epistle that those who ask with such doubt simply do not receive what they ask for. You see, this type of attitude seems to be the trouble with the way that the leper prayed when he came before Jesus. Listen to what Jesus clearly said to him. But you see, after this leper had said, if you are willing, Jesus responded sort of sternly, I will. It was almost as if Jesus was upset that anyone would question whether he would want someone to be healed. It was almost as if Jesus was saying to this leper, do you think that sin and disease and illness are my will? Of course they are not my will. I am the Christ. I have come that the blind might see, and that the lame might walk, and that the leper might be cleansed. I have come that the deaf might hear, and the dead might be raised, and the poor might have good news preached to them. You see, the leper did not understand fully that Jesus was the Christ. Or at the very least, he did not understand what the Christ had truly come to do. And that's more than likely the reason why Jesus told him to not go and tell anyone what had happened. For you see, if that man went out, as he ended up doing, with his proclamation of misunderstanding, it would only hinder the work that Christ himself was to do of manifesting himself properly to those people. But let's turn the discussion back to ourselves. Do you and I understand all that Christ came to do? Do we truly understand what that means for our lives and how it should affect our prayers? Do we understand that there are certain things God has revealed that absolutely are His will? And so that when we talk to God about those things, we do not need to try first to convince God that He should do it. We need only ask that He would do it. So what are these things that we know for certain are God's will? Well, as we said before, Jesus was the Christ. And throughout all the prophets and in Jesus' own words, it is clear in the scriptures that the Christ came for many reasons. But among them are these, that the sick would be made well, that the poor would be provided for, that the good news of Christ would be proclaimed to all people. So we don't need to ask God if He wills for His sick people to be made well, or for those in need to be satisfied, or for the troubled in conscience to find peace. Those things we know are God's will. As Luther put it in his explanation to the first commandment in the Large Catechism, it's as if God says to us time and time again, recognize me as the one who wants to help you and is anxious richly to lavish upon you every good thing. You see, to ask God if He wants to heal one of His children, or whether He wants to provide for the poor, or whether He wants the good news preached, is to insult His character. It is to ignore what He has revealed about Himself. It is to question something to which God has already provided the answer. Yes, when we pray, Thy will be done, it's not so much about asking God what His will is, but rather about asking that the things that are His will would be done among us. Yes, we pray that we might already now see the blessing that He will one day manifest fully on that last day. We pray that right now we might see the sick healed, the poor provided for, and the good news proclaimed to all. We pray that we might see it in our day, in the very places where we live. Now, of course, we must remember, the last day has not yet arrived. And so God's will is not perfectly manifested yet in this world. And so like just in Jesus' day, not every sick person is made well. Not every poor person is provided for. And yes, there are even some who have not heard the good news. But we must realize that those things are true, not because God wills them to be true, but rather because God is delaying is coming to extend his reign over all things. You see, God never willed that someone would be sick or hungry or without his saving gospel. Simply that Jesus has not yet extended his reign over all things. For you see, God understands that extending his reign over all things and bringing that goodness into every place requires something more. For it wouldn't just be about healing every disease and feeding the poor and preaching good news to those who are poor in spirit. To extend his reign in every corner of creation means also that he must bring final judgment upon those who do not know him. So Peter lets us into the mind of God when he tells us that God delays the action of extending his reign over all creation in the hope and with the knowledge that if he waits just one more day, more will be saved. But know this, God will one day get rid of all that is bad. That is his will. And in his great mercy, and because the kingdom of God is already present here on this earth now, God already gives us glimpses of what will be in our lives today. He does, before our eyes, extend his reign and rule in visible ways. That's why you and I are blessed in time to see sick people made well. We are blessed to see poor people fed. We are blessed to have the gospel proclaimed to us, yes, even again this day. But when you pray, don't ever wonder if God wants something good for you. If that question was ever in doubt in history, those doubts were placed away on Good Friday and Easter morning. For if God didn't want good for you, he would not have sent Jesus to the cross. He would have simply remained up in heaven. And if God did not want good for you, that tomb that Jesus laid in would still house his bones. But it does not. So rejoice today, knowing that God's will for all of his children is only good. Know that even now he delivers that goodness to you every time you receive his word or taste of his supper. And know that when sickness is cured around you, when your needs are provided for, when you hear good news going into your ears, that God is even now bringing his kingdom into your life. God wills for you to have it all. So ask him for the things that you need with the confidence that this one statement must work. Jesus is willing. Amen.